Christmas. Merry Christmas. One of my ushers tonight said, "Where do all these people come from?" And I said to him, "I don't care where they come from. I'm just glad that they're here tonight. How good it is that we can be gathered together in this place. How good it is that God has given us this opportunity to be here in this place on this very special night and join our voices, our spirits, and our hearts together in this service of worship. My name is Pastor Jeff Knoll. I'm the minister here at the Blauenberg Reformed Church. And I want you to know that this is a place of prayer. It's a place of support and community. It's a place where people come to grow in their faith and in their understanding. It's a place where people serve and put their gifts to use. As I already said, I'm so glad that you are here this evening. And if any of you ever want to be more involved in this place, please know that we would be thrilled to help you become more involved. In service of that, we do have informational cards in the pews. They're the blue cards, they're prayer request cards. And we'd love to know who worshiped with us this evening. If you'd be so kind as to write your family's name and any contact information that you'd be willing to share with us, we'd be happy to collect those blue cards during our offerings, during the offering time of our service. At the close of our service, we'll sing Joy to the World. We'll stand together and we'll sing. I would ask you to put on your coats during Joy to the World. Our ushers will give you the candlelight and we'll sing the last and closing verses of Joy to the World with candlelight. And then following Joy to the World, we'll head out front in front of the church and we'll sing our closing song there together in the night and with the candlelight. Again, it is so wonderful to have you all here. It is so great to be together with friends new and old. Let us now light our Advent candles and prepare our hearts for this service of Christian worship.
A reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, light of the nations and glory of Israel, make your home among us and present us pure and holy to your heavenly Father, your God and our God. Amen.
Please be seated. I would invite you to turn your hearts with me now to God in prayer. Our prayers will conclude with the Lord's Prayer, which you can find printed in the order of service. God of grace and God of love, we come to you in prayer this evening with grateful hearts. We are grateful for this opportunity to be together in this place and to celebrate the birth of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. His arrival reveals to us the nature of your love, that your desire is to be Emmanuel, God with us. This evening we bring to you our prayers for this world which you so love. We pray for those in our world in times of special need. We pray for the sick, for the lonely, and those who are nearing life's end. We pray for those who mourn the loss of a loved one. We pray for those who struggle with addiction. And we pray for those who are battling cancer and illnesses of all kinds, and those recovering from surgery. We pray, O God, for those who have experienced tragedy in their lives, natural disasters, hurricanes, earthquakes, fires, and floods. We pray, O God, for those who have known violence at the hands of others. We pray for the abused, the harassed, the persecuted, and the oppressed. We pray, O God, for victims of terror and hatred in all of the terrible forms it takes. Through the darkness, O God, we have come here this night seeking the light and the hope of your love. As we hear the story of Christ's birth from the pages of Scripture, as we sing of his appearing, as we remember your love, we pray that you would open our hearts. Open our hearts that we may receive this story as our story. Open our hearts that in this story we might find your peace. Open our hearts that by this story of love and grace, wonder and glory, we would be moved to share this story with a world desperate for good news. In all things, we pray, O God, that you would keep our hearts and our thoughts in your Son, our only Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our first scripture reading comes from the prophet Isaiah. Listen now for God's holy word. The prophet says, The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken, as on the day of Midian. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us, and authority rests upon his shoulders. And he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time onwards and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. And we turn now to the Gospel of Luke. Listen again for God's word. In those days, a decree went out from the Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was the governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver the child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over the flocks by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you, born this day in the city of David, is a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Invite the children forward for a children's message. Yeah, you guys can come on down. You can sit right up here in the front pew. Welcome. Merry Christmas. And if you want, some of you can sit on the floor over here too. Very good. Thank you, guys. That's so good to see you all. You guys want to come over here and sit on the floor so you can see? Come on over. Well, Merry Christmas to you all. Thank you. Thank you. You know, we just sang a really beautiful song that we sing at Christmas time. That's my daughter, so it's my fault. We just sang Away in a Manger. Away in a Manger. And you know, that word manger is sort of a strange word that we don't always hear all the time. And I'm wondering if any of you guys, I'm guessing you guys probably know what a manger is, even though it's not a word we hear all the time. Does anyone know what a manger is and what a manger gets used for? Yeah.
Maybe like a cradle, and it was used to hold things.
Maybe like a cradle, and it was used to hold things. Yeah, you know, a manger does kind of look like a cradle. Does anyone know what a manger was supposed to be used for?
When the animal was, food sat.
Yeah, it's where the animal's food sat. We actually have a manger here at church for Christmas time, and this is what a manger would look like. And when Jesus was born around that time, a lot of people had animals in their lives. They had cows or sheep or goats or different kinds of animals that would live with them near their homes. And a lot of people would have mangers like this. And what you'd do is you would put it on the ground and you'd fill it with food for your animals. And then your animal could come and it would use that kind of like its dinner plate. It would eat out of the manger, yeah? Kind of like a bowl. Yeah, it's kind of like a bowl. It holds food. Well, I was thinking about mangers and how the only time that we ever talk about or think about mangers is during this time of year at Christmas time. And the only time we ever see a manger is probably at Christmas time, unless some of you might be farmers. Are any of you farmers and you guys have used a manger to feed animals? Has anyone used a manger ever to feed animals? What about out there? We might have some farmers in the county. Yeah, we do have some farmers out there. So some of you guys might know how strange it is that the baby Jesus would have a manger for a crib. But for most of us, the only time we ever hear about or think about or see a manger is when we're in a place like this with the beautiful Christmas decorations, the tree and the candles, and when we're singing songs. And so I think it can be kind of hard for us to understand what it's like and why it's so strange that Jesus got put in a manger. But you know, I bet some of you guys do have animals in your lives, right? Do any of you guys have cats at home? Oh, a lot of you have cats at home. Do any of you guys have dogs at home? Yeah. Do any of you have other kinds of pets at home? Yeah, right. My family, we have a dog, and I brought in something from my house tonight. Do you guys know what this is? That's a dog bed. Yeah, this is where my dog Raleigh sleeps at night. We put that out for him, and he loves it. He goes there, and he sleeps. And I was thinking that it might be kind of an interesting experiment if we retell the Christmas story and we use a dog bed instead of a manger. So I think it might be kind of interesting. So what if the story of Christmas went like this? Once there was a young couple, and they traveled a very, very far distance, and they came to the village of Blauenberg, and they needed a place to stay. So they started going around the village of Blauenberg, knocking on people's doors. And they would knock on a door, and they'd say, "Do you have any room for us? We're about to have a baby." Because the young woman, she was going to have a baby, and it was going to be a very special baby, not only for her and for her husband, but a very special baby for the whole world. But do you know what? It didn't matter how special that baby was, because as they knocked on doors, they found that everyone in the village of Blauenberg, their homes were already full of people, and there was no room for them. So they kept knocking on doors, and finally, they found someone who wanted to help. And his home was already so full of people, but he wanted to help. So he gave this young couple who were expecting a baby the only space that was left in his house, which was the hallway by all the bedrooms, but outside the bedrooms. And it was the hallway where his dog slept every night. And so the young couple took that space because it was the only space that they could find. And that night, they stayed in that hallway. And that night, the time came for the baby to be born. And the young woman, she gave birth to a baby, her firstborn son. And she was so excited. She didn't have any clothes for her baby, so she wrapped him in some cloths. And she didn't have any place to put the baby, except for the dog's bed. And so there she laid her baby. You know, when I tell the story like that, it really makes me think. And it really makes me wonder. It makes me wonder what that must have been like for Mary and Joseph and Jesus on that first Christmas night. I wonder what it would have felt like for Mary to have her baby and to not have a crib to put her baby in. And it makes me wonder what it must have been like for Joseph, the father, to have a baby and to have no space for that baby. And it makes me wonder what it must have been like for Jesus, because the Bible tells us before Jesus was born, Jesus lived in heaven with God, and Jesus had everything that he could have wanted. But when he was born, he had so little. He barely had a place to sleep. I wonder if this story makes you guys think and makes you guys wonder too. I hope so. Thanks for coming up. You guys can head back to your seats. And the story continues in the Gospel of Luke. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these words and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. A couple of years ago, about a month before Christmas, my Uncle Jimmy was going through his regular Tuesday evening routine when he got a call on his cell phone. There was bad and scary news. His two daughters, my cousins, Ashley and Emily, as they were on their way to the mall to do some Christmas shopping, had been in a car accident, and they were now on their way in an ambulance to a nearby hospital. I visited my Uncle Jimmy and my cousins at Morristown Medical Center a few days after that accident, and at that point it was clear that both girls were going to be okay. They did have some injuries, but nothing too serious, and they were on the mend. And when I was there visiting, everyone was in good spirits, grateful that things hadn't turned out worse. At a certain point in the visit, I had some time alone with my Uncle Jimmy as he recounted to me the experience of getting that scary news and that phone call that evening. He talked about how he had rushed to the hospital, choosing to go just as he was, wearing what he had been wearing at work and not bothering to change. Now, for most of us, it would not be a big issue to rush off to the hospital in the clothes that we wear on a typical workday. But my Uncle Jimmy's situation is a little bit different because my Uncle Jimmy is a dairy farmer. And like most dairy farmers who spend their days caring for and milking cows, by the end of the day, we can say he was a little bit dirty. And that night was no different. In fact, he told me that that night was a bit worse. For earlier that day, he had plodded through a manure-rich meadow where his cows spent most of their time in order to retrieve a tractor that one of his sons had left in that field the day before. That evening, when he received that terrible phone call and had rushed to the hospital, his pants and his boots were coated in what we will call fragrant soil. Now, all the farmers that I know have a special space. It's both half inside and outside of their homes where they can undress from their boots and their barn clothes before they can enter fully into the home. My other uncle, who's also a dairy farmer, he and his boys enter their house through the basement, through a cellar door, and they leave their boots and their coats there before heading upstairs for a shower. My Uncle Jimmy and his sons, they have an attached porch where their boots and their outer layers come off before they are allowed through the kitchen and into the house. Well, it turns out that the waiting room at the Morristown Medical Center's emergency department has no such indoor-outdoor space for concerned fathers and farmers to shed their barn clothes. So as my uncle sat in the emergency room waiting anxiously to be taken back so that he could go and see his girls, a woman sitting in that space leaned over and asked him a question. "Excuse me, sir, are you a farmer?" My Uncle Jimmy was surprised to be addressed by a complete stranger in such an unfamiliar place, and so he just nodded and said, "Yeah." Well, hearing this affirmation, the woman responded, "Well, you stink!" My uncle laughed, and he said, "She was right. I did stink." And of course he stank. Of course he was dirty and smelly, and of course he was a little bit out of place in that clean white hospital room. But given the news that he had received, we all know that he was right where he belonged. He was right where he was supposed to be. Given the news that he had received, he was right where his situation demanded that he be. He had received the kind of news that demands that you get up and you go. You go with haste, notwithstanding who you are or the state you are in or what people might think when you arrive or how badly you might smell. Our Christmas Eve shepherds, they too received some important news, and they too chose to go, and to go with haste. The angel of the Lord had appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord had shone around them, and they had heard the amazing news that born this day in the city of David was a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now, I suspect that these shepherds shared a few things in common with my dairy farming uncle. These shepherds, like my Uncle Jimmy, spent most of their time out of doors caring for animals. More so than my uncle, we're told in the passage that these shepherds even slept in the out of doors with their flocks under the stars at night. So no doubt, that night when the angels came, no doubt that night when they heard that great news, that good news of great joy, no doubt these shepherds were a little bit dirty and quite a bit smelly. No doubt they would have been out of place in a clean white hospital waiting room, let alone in a palace or the presence of a newborn king. And yet, when the heavenly host departed, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." In response to the good news which they had received, the shepherds dropped everything, and without a second thought, they went, and they went with haste. People of God, God brings us good news of great joy this evening. For it can be so easy for us to disqualify ourselves. It can be so easy for us to find reasons to disqualify ourselves. So easy for us to look at the condition of our lives or to listen to the voices of the world around us and to think, "I am not the kind of person who belongs at Jesus' side. I am not the kind of person who belongs near the King of all creation. I am not the kind of person whom God would choose to send out as God's servants." People of God, it can be so easy for us to find reasons to disqualify ourselves and to think that God would not want us near God's Son. But tonight, through the story of the shepherds, God reminds us that when God calls us, when God gives us good news of great joy, when God directs us to God's Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, we are invited to go. We are invited to go as we are, as God has called us. We are invited to go without a second thought, to go notwithstanding the condition of our lives or what others might think when we arrive. We are invited and directed and commanded by our God to go, and to go with haste, to be near Christ Jesus, the newborn King, to see His glory, and then to share the good news of His birth with others. When my Uncle Jimmy received that phone call that his daughters had been in an accident, he went. He went notwithstanding the dirt and the smell and all those things which clung so closely to him. When the angels directed the shepherds, they too went. They went notwithstanding their lowly place. They went notwithstanding the dirt or the smell that they carried. When God calls us, when Christ invites us to go and to experience and to know God's saving love, we are invited to go. So let us not delay. Let us not think twice. Let us think only of God's grace and God's love, and let us go. Like a farmer going in haste to the hospital to be with his daughters, like a bunch of shepherds going in haste to witness the birth of Christ the King, let us go. Let us go with haste and welcome our Savior, for He is Christ, our Lord.
Thank you.
Please be seated. God's grace comes to us through the Christmas story, being reminded that our Savior is born, that salvation is here, that God bids us to go with haste and to see His glory. God's grace also comes to us in God's invitation that we would take part in the good work that God is doing in this world. And there are many ways to take part in that good work. Just one of those ways is by supporting the ministries of this place with our Christmas offering, which we will now take. Together and join our voices in our prayer of dedication, which you will find printed in your order of service. We pray together, saying, God of acceptance and love, we present before you our gifts of gratitude. We are grateful that you have accepted us as your beloved children. We are grateful that you have called us to draw close to your Son. Accept these gifts and bless them. May they bring a message of your acceptance and love to others. Amen. Do take your bulletins with you. We'll sing Silent Night, which you'll find printed on the back side of the bulletin once we've made it out front.